First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for coming and to the organizers for the session for inviting me to participate. These are my disclosures. I do a lot of research for several diagnostic companies. I don't need to tell this audience that we have about 350 million prevalent cases of curable STIs in the world. And if you add the viral STIs, we're up to about 3 billion. Just to set the stage. So today, my objectives are to try to discern where we're heading for some PCR diagnostics that would be point of care. We have three chlamydia point of care tests, three tests for Neisseria that we're going to talk about, trichomonas, a little bit on syphilis, and a little bit on herpes. So, and then just mention some novel approaches for new uses of point-of-care tests like internet recruitment and even self-testing. So we are seeing lots of new tests for STIs. Chlamydia, here's a microwave accelerated metal enhanced fluorescence test that we'll cover a little bit for chlamydia and gonorrhea, also the newly FDA-cleared Cepheid test. The ATLAS test, which is going into clinical trials soon. We'll mention a little bit about trichomonas and syphilis and the Quidel BioHelix test for herpes. So the first test that I want to talk about for chlamydia and then next gonorrhea is this microwave accelerated metal enhanced fluorescence base. This is being developed at the UMBC, University of Baltimore campus. And you can see that we use microwave radiation to lyse the organism and then accelerate the reaction. It goes in about 20 seconds with an anchor probe and a fluorescent probe. So pretty fast. One of the things that you do is combine the metal acceleration with the microwave. And you can see that basically all in the mixture, you're getting your fluorescent probes to show up, play exciter and a detector probe. So we published an evaluation of this test last July, I believe, in the JCM journal. And we used two targets. I started out using a 16S target, and we weren't real happy with that. We used a cryptic plasmid target gene and gave us about 91% concordance. And if we required that both assays be positive, our concordance was 89. So this test takes less than 10 minutes. It costs about $1.50 a test. And the reader that we would use to read the result is a couple thousand dollars. Now we're working on developing a gonorrhea based MAMEF test. And so there's a poster number 147 Tuesday in the ballroom that will go into more detail about this assay, particularly for antimicrobial resistance markings. But again, two different tests that we have looked at. And some of them shown in the green here give a perfect match to N. meningitidis. So just a very preliminary look at a couple of dry swabs that we've looked at, and a NAT compared to a NAT test, we had an agreement of 5 and a couple of discordance, and testing is currently going on. So with the resistance markers, we're using a new technique called surface plasmon resistance. And basically, if you go to the poster, you can learn more about the actual detection technique. But it uses a refractive index-based monitoring of the interaction between the molecules. And so this is sort of a schematic looking at the different polarized lights and the DNA and how they all interact in the test. But what happens, basically, is we're trying to get to a single-use disposable lysine detection chip where the sample would flow here based on a bubble, which when it shrinks will run the organism through metal triangles to actually lyse the organism, and then they will go through this next channel and come through to get rid of the cell debris and then read the assay over here. So this is, of course, not developed yet, but this is the model that we're working towards. And Next, I'd like to switch to the second point of care test, and I'd like to report that this test is, unlike our metal enhanced test, this one is FDA cleared. Some people would say it's really not a point of care test because it takes 90 minutes, and so I believe many people will call this a near patient real-time PCR test. And this is the Gene Expert CTNG test. The clinical trial screened over 1,700 females and 1,300 males. The nice thing about this assay is that it has a sample adequacy control, which will show that the sample was actually taken, so that if someone did a vaginal swab and they did an air swab and put it into the transport media, you would know because there was no human DNA. Similarly, if a man submitted water instead of urine in his tube, this would tell us. And then there's a processing control, which actually indicates that there is no that there are no inhibitors to PCR. So as I said, you get the results in about 90 minutes, and these are the results of the clinical trial. And use of this assay in real-life situations outside of a clinical trial, of course, are still ongoing. But basically, we had great sensitivity and great specificity, no matter whether they looked at cervical, vaginal, or urine, or in females and in males. They only have a claim for urine in males since that's the FDA recommended specimen for looking at CTNG in males. Next, I'd like to focus on a third test, the Atlas Velox system. It's a pretty small footprint. This is from the UK, the Atlas Genetics company. It's pretty low cost. You don't have to have any separate reagents. Everything is in the little cartridge here. And it's portable, pretty robust to take into the field. The cards are disposable, and you get the results in about 20 minutes. It's being designed to be simple enough someday down the road to meet CLIA waiver. And their product for chlamydia, I believe, is going into clinical trials for CE mark in Europe end of this year. And then later on for chlamydia and gonorrhea in Europe and in the United States at the same time. So stay tuned. We have great hopes for this little system. So this is another cartoon showing that all of the functions, the extraction, the amplification, and the detection all happen on this cute little card here. So this assay is based on an electrochemical detection with ions from ferrous molecules, and the probe is hybridized to the target, and then a nuclease on a double strand is specific, and so the ferric ion is released, and you get a positive electrochemical detection. This also has the capability to do multiplex technology too, shown here as an example of chlamydia and gonorrhea and an internal control that will be possible when the multiplex test is further developed. This test has been tested on compared to some NAT assays in the US and in the UK. Here's one example, 98% sensitivity compared to a NAT test. And I believe this was, yes, the BD test. And here it is compared to a Roche PCR or a GenProbe test. And you can see, again, pretty good sensitivity and specificity. So we have really great hopes for this assay getting to the market pretty quickly. So this is from an article that's published, though. I have to take a step back and say, what do we have on the market? We don't have much of anything. BioStar, ClearView, QuickView, the Chlamydia Rapid Test, they all suffer from low sensitivity. And here we have this expert test, which has been really the first test that has gone through the FDA recently that has given us really high results, both for chlamydia and for gonorrhea. So stay tuned. We are going to get better tests. Now let's turn to Trichomonas, and there's only one test that I want to talk about. There are others that are coming down the pike, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to focus on the awesome rapid test. This has been around for a while. It's been used a lot in emergency departments and in point-of-care offices for adolescent medicine patients. It has a published sensitivity depending on different reports of anywhere between 83 to 86 to 90% sensitivity depending on the comparison when you compare to amplified tests. It is a lateral flow, and it's based on proteins from the Trichomonas and uses mouse antibodies. So the interesting thing about this test, it is so simple, and it's FDA cleared for the clinician to do it. So Jill Hubbard and her colleagues in Cincinnati decided to see if adolescents could do the test themselves. And you know what? They can. So this is a comparison that she published a while back between letting the clinician do the test and letting the adolescent do the test. Had a high kappa at 95% agreement. And there were 4 and 5 discrepancies here, but when you actually looked at those, many of those could be confirmed by a second test. So I want to talk a little bit about going outside of the clinic, because that's really the idea of having these point-of-care tests, is we can go from the lab into the doctor's office, maybe the internet, and maybe even at home. So this is a comparison of our old I Want the Kit on the left here, where people had to order a kit and mail it in, collect their sample at home, and then mailed it in, and then they had to go for a treatment. So this is, many of you probably seen this before. We started in 2004. In August of 2013, we had a new revision and updating, facelifting, as it were. And so now the patient can sign in with a secure password and can select their clinic before they go to get tested. There are lots of new instructions and new educational things about different organisms. But now when the test is ready, they can go back on and find their results themselves and take themselves to that clinic that they chose. So, but what I wanted to emphasize is that now we just got FDA clearance to send that Trichomonas test that I talked about home. It'll be a study, but it's an acceptability study to see as we travel along that pipeline to go through laboratory and then point of care in a doctor's office to maybe someday having a test that adolescents and adults could buy in the drugstore and do the test themselves. So we're just received IRB approval, and we will be introducing the ability for a woman only, no men this time, to do the test themselves at home with this little awesome test. And it will be compared to their regular internet test that they will mail in, which is a NAT test. And it will be a study, so they have to sign a consent form. So I want to switch now to the treponemal tests. We know that we have non-treponemal and treponemal tests, but I think that this ChemBio product offers us some great ability to have the non-treponemal and the treponemal test all in the same cartridge, so that you can not only have the treponemal test or the non-treponemal test, but it can be confirmed by the other test. And I'm pretty sure this is FDA cleared now. Not moving. Okay, the only other FDA cleared test that we have for syphilis in this country is the Trinity Health Check test, and the FDA cleared it a while back. It's now rolling out. We're testing it in Uganda, and other places in the world are testing it. It's fast, 10 minutes, 2 steps, pretty simple to do. It agrees with other treponemal type tests, and it can be done on serum plasma or whole blood. There are a bunch of other point-of-care tests for syphilis which are not FDA cleared, the Abbott Determine, the Omega, the Qualprev, the Standard Bioline, and the Trinity Health Check, which I just mentioned. And they all seem to be pretty good. We're hoping that a lot of these will get FDA clearance for the U.S., but they are being used internationally. I talk more about syphilis on Thursday, so I don't have too much more about syphilis today. I would like to mention, Chen mentioned, and thank you for setting the stage for all of the molecular tests, that BioHelix, or Quidel, now has a FDA-cleared rapid, simple isothermal nucleic acid test for herpes 1 and 2. It has really good detection level of detection at 5 and 34 copies per reaction for HSV 1 and 2. And the FDA trials use viral culture as the standard and have great sensitivity and specificity for 1 and 2. So this is a little lateral flow thing here. You do the sample prep, the amplification, which has to be added to a master mix, and then placed in the cassette and put into their little machine, and the results are read after 15 minutes. So it's a pretty nifty little test. Back to antibody tests for syphilis, because that's the way most syphilis is diagnosed in the United States. There are several assays on the market, the Herb Select for serum for 1 and 2. There's a Calon test, which is used a lot in the UK. It's not FDA cleared. And then we know that we have lots of rapid PCR tests that are not point of care, but there are a couple of FDA cleared tests out there. And then the one that I mentioned that's point of care is the IsoAmp or the Quidel. So, in conclusion, better point-of-care tests are making inroads, and in the limited time that I had today, I've just given you a little smattering of ones that are there and a couple that I think are close to being able to make it over that valley of death and get out there into the commercialized assays. So we know testing outside the lab is possible. We still have regulatory issues, especially in this country, but not so much in developing countries. Self-testing could hold promise in the future, and we need to learn how to effectively use these tools and how research can help us improve the way that we use them, as well as to think about cost-effective ways to increase the number of patients that we treat. So I'd like to acknowledge all my co-workers, Mary and Matilda and Laura and Justin, Jeff, Billy Joe, and Perry. They all help evaluate these assays and help me in many ways. So I'd like to appreciate them. And I'm happy if we have time for a couple of questions.
Yes, we do. Any questions?
I would like to say that for those of you who are standing, there are lots of seats down front.
Yes,
Tony.
Could you talk about the cost comparison between the Jempro, the VAT, and the
Cepharin? It's similar. I don't buy them, so I can't really speak to that. But I'm sure they both have booths here. You could talk to their reps. In the back. I can't hear you, Pierre.
Is herpes test type specific?
Yes, it is.
It is.
1 and 2. They're talking about the ISO of the ISO. Yeah, the Quidel BioHelix. Yeah, yeah. And there's also clinical trials going on for Trichomonas by that company.
Thank you. I'm Heidi Bauer, California. I'm going to ask my question now to the first two speakers because the second two talks are about gonorrhea. And thank you, Charlotte, for that lovely talk. It's so exciting to see progress. My question is actually around diagnosis of syphilis, and one of the frustrations in our field, I think, is that we don't have a test that tells us if somebody is infectious and has an active infection. And so my question is a question for all of you fabulous laboratorians is, when are we going to see a diagnostic test that really helps us do our jobs better and not waste so much time tracking down folks who really are personal medical issues and not public health issues?
Thank you, Terry. It's a great great question. I think that ChemBio test is going to be exciting because it does do the treponemal and the non-treponemal test. You're talking about for syphilis, right? And I think the SD BioLine has an assay that does HIV and treponemal, but they also have an assay that's doing the treponemal and the non-treponemal test too. So stay tuned. It'll happen sooner than you think, I hope. Yeah.
Okay,
Okay, right now, if we actually need to move on, all the speakers will be available after the session. You can have the next one. So I'm going to turn this over to Bill.
Okay.
No, I'm fine. So it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Yonatan Grad from the Harvard School of Public Health. Those of you who have the pamphlet and are graduates of Harvard Medical School or Yale, do not worry. The school has not been moved to New Haven, Connecticut. And the title of his talk is Genomic Epidemiology of Neisseria Gonorrhea with Reduced Susceptibility to Antimicrobials.
Thank you. And I had nothing to do with the address change, although I sometimes think that universities are fronts for real estate companies. This isn't like the expansion of Harvard.